Good afternoon, 4:30 and 63 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
I don't view it as necessarily, some people said, well, it's a tax increase. No, it isn't, because it's got three hurdles to jump across.
The local option sales tax is back, and House Speaker Greg Stumbo says it's wrong to claim it's a tax increase. A murder charge is lodged against an Ashland man in a fatal traffic accident. And some jobs will apparently be lost in Maysville this week. In sports, a legendary NFL quarterback calls it quits. Bud Luke has the stocks. Cloudy tonight, low in the upper 40s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news. The Boyd County Commonwealth's attorney has charged an Ashland man with murder following a fatal traffic accident last month. According to WSAZ, Corey Mills is charged in the death of 71-year-old Truman Blevins. Mills is also accused of drug possession. Commonwealth's attorney David Justice says Blevins was struck by a car as he walked his dog along Ramey Street. Police say Mills was driving the auto. They claim to have found heroin and drug paraphernalia inside the vehicle after the collision. A man was killed in Martin County Saturday when a tree fell through his mobile home. The victim was identified as 57-year-old Larry Witt. Police say he died instantly when the tree smashed through the trailer along Old Route 3 in Johnson Bottom. Connie Osborne's sister and several other people inside the home survived the ordeal. She tells WSAZ, that's amazing.
My nephew was in the bed sleeping, and he was underneath all that. And my mama, she was laying in there underneath all that debris. And it's just a miracle that they're here. It is a miracle.
The Martin County Sheriff's Department worked with an EMS crew to free an injured woman from the wreckage. One of the four vacant seats in the Kentucky House that will be filled in special elections tomorrow is in Greenup County, where Democrat Lou Nichols takes on Republican Tony Quillen. Nichols is a former Greenup Circuit Court judge who says nothing is more important to Northeast Kentucky than bringing new jobs to the region. He spoke with CN2's Pure Politics.
Right now, we recently had AK Steel that has gone into a massive layoff, and that has really thrown our area into a tailspin. We've had some of our businesses, we had the Ashton Oil headquarters that pulled out here, so we've had a migration out of here. In fact, my own kids had to leave the area to find jobs.
Nichols says his tenure as a judge should be an advantage to him in drafting new legislation in Frankfort. The Republican candidate in Tuesday's election says no one wants to reduce funding for post-secondary education. However, Tony Quillen thinks it's necessary until the state gets a better handle on its public pension crisis. Quillen is a Greenup County commissioner who says the cuts of 9% Governor Bevin has proposed in each of the next 2 years should not devastate higher education in Kentucky.
Let's take the University of Kentucky. The University of Kentucky budget is this year, last year, was $3.4 billion. But of that $3.4 billion, only 8% of it was state funding. That's the only part that is getting cut. So you take 9% of 8%, and that's less than 1%.
When Kentucky is in better financial shape, Quillen says, it can start putting money back into education and other programs to move the state forward. The House Elections and Constitutional Amendments Committee this afternoon recommended passage of a bill that would permit early voting in a Kentucky county clerk's office at least 12 days before an election. The measure allows absentee ballots to be cast for any reason. Tennessee's Secretary of State is Trey Hargett. He says the volunteer state already has such a law. Hargett says many legislatures have approved bills to make it easier to register to vote and actively encourage citizens to exercise their right.
But what really makes the difference is providing access inconvenience for people being able to exercise their right to vote. And Tennesseans have certainly enjoyed this. And also from the election administration side, it allows you to spread that work out over a certain period of time. It can reduce lines on election day. And certainly if there's any issue at the polls, it allows you to be able to minimize that and be able to correct any issues that you have.
Kentucky Secretary of State Allison Grimes says 37 other states now have similar early voting laws. Republican caucuses for Rowan, Morgan, and Elliott counties took place in Moorhead over the weekend. There were supporters of Northeast Kentucky Right to Life, as well as campaigners for state representative candidates Wendy Fletcher, and Randy Smith. Several area volunteers were at the conference center to assist voters, including Moorhead State University student Paige Mathis.
It seems really positive. There are actually a lot more people here than I think they were expecting. A lot of the other volunteers have been really surprised about the turnout, especially from Rowan County. They didn't think that there would be very many people, but we've had a great turnout, so I think they're pretty excited about it.
Donald Trump ended up getting the majority of Kentucky votes, including from Morgan and Elliott counties. However, Ted Cruz barely took Rowan County's vote, 318 to 317. We'll have more on that caucus coming up on our feature story this afternoon in about 10 minutes. Kentucky's junior senator says he's disappointed by the tone of the Republican presidential campaign. Rand Paul was among the contenders until he dropped out 2 weeks ago.
I think the level of discourse has kind of descended a little bit, and which is too bad because we have a lot of important problems in our country. People out of work, jobs that we're losing to overseas, things that we ought to change to try to help make America better and richer and more prosperous.
Even so, Paul says Saturday's Republican caucus in Kentucky was exciting and generated additional interest in the contest. The Kentucky legislature is creating an automotive caucus to promote the industry in the bluegrass. It'll be composed of lawmakers who have vehicle manufacturers, parts suppliers, or other auto-related businesses in their districts. Two of its founding members are State Representatives Jim DeCesare and Jody Richards. Both are from Bowling Green, where General Motors has a Corvette plant. DeCesare is a Republican and Richards is a Democrat. They say the auto industry is important to Kentucky's future.
There are like 80,000 jobs in Kentucky that are automotive related. The average salary is about $60,000 a year for those people working. It's a $14.3 billion impact on the state, 137,000 jobs.
Initial estimates are that more than 70 House and Senate members will be joining the Automotive Caucus. A bill to put a constitutional amendment on the Kentucky ballot that, if approved, would allow local governments to place sales tax issues before their voters has cleared a House committee. The local option sales tax is co-sponsored by House Speaker Greg Stumbo, a Democrat, and House Minority Leader Jeff Hoover, a Republican. Stumbo testified this afternoon before the House Elections and Constitutional Amendments panel. He says the legislation makes the process about as transparent as possible.
In this instance, they'd be able to see exactly what it's going for. And I believe that's the way that in modern times that we have to approach these funding situations, that government has to make sure that people understand their money's not being wasted. It's going for a dedicated purpose or a specific purpose or a purpose that has broad public support.
Ann Stumbo also stresses that the tax would expire when the project is completed. U.S. Senator Rob Portman says he can't understand why the Federal Department of Energy has chosen to decommission the work being done at the American Centrifuge plant in Piketon. The Ohio Republican told Federal Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz at a hearing in Washington last week, shutting down the facility just doesn't seem to make any sense.
We are pulling the plug on the one American source, the only American-owned source of enriched uranium, which we need for nuclear power, we need for our nuclear navy, we need for tritium for nuclear arsenal, which you have acknowledged. We have to have it, and we need it for our non-proliferation efforts. We can't go to the countries in the world and say, we're going to provide you enriched uranium because we don't have any source now.
Portman says the DOE's decision idled about 60 workers at the plant last week, and another 140 will soon be furloughed when their cleanup work is completed. Officials with the Maysville plant say they'll be laying off dozens of their employees beginning Friday. MSBR's Jordan Simonson has that story.
According to the Ledger Independent, the layoff of 76 employees at Carmuse Lime and Stone is because First Energy, the plant's biggest consumer, is idling its Bruce Manfield power generation plant in Pennsylvania. Limestone produced at Carmuse is used by coal-burning plants to reduce the amount of carbon dioxide emitted into the air. The sudden decline in the demand of stone was unexpected, and Carmuse Vice President Kevin White hopes the layoffs will only be temporary. In January, Carmuse temporarily laid off 35 employees at their Black River operation in Pendleton County. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Jordan Simonson.
Rowan County school officials are working to determine what to eventually do with a building that once served as the system's middle school. The district will move its central offices into that facility in late spring. They'll remain there for about 2 to 3 years until they are packed up and moved again into the building that currently houses the Rowan campus of Maysville Community and Technical College. Superintendent Marvin Moore says the old middle school property, which covers nearly 11 acres in downtown Moorhead, could create some needed cash for the district.
We feel like that's a nice piece of property and a valuable piece of property, and if that would ever sell, that certainly gives you cash dollars, and that certainly helps you cash flow for local dollars, and at that time the board can look at that and decide what's the best use of those dollars.
Moore stresses, though, that the Rowan School Board has not reached any decisions regarding what to do with the old middle school building. House Majority Leader Rocky Adkins says he hopes to hear soon from Governor Bevin about a Democratic proposal for 2 years of free tuition at Kentucky's community and technical colleges. The Moorhead lawmaker discussed the measure with KET.
It really puts the taxpayers' money back into an investment in our people. And so I think it will be widely accepted. I think there'll be a tremendous amount of support. I'm anxious to hear the feedback from others who may have other ideas to make this bill better.
Democrats rolled out their initiative last week, getting an endorsement from KCTCS President Jay Box. They say the plan would be paid for by taking $33 million from funds the governor intended for shoring up Kentucky's troubled pension system. And Rowan County's former judge executive and four of its magistrates are being sued. Elizabeth Hernandez has that story.
According to the Moorhead News, a Lexington-based company has filed suit claiming its constitutional right to freedom of speech was violated. Bluegrass Dutch Trust Moorhead, LLC, claims Jim Nickel and magistrates Ray White, Daryl Glover, Charlie Winkleman, and Stanley Messer denied it an easement on some property it owns in the Hickory Point subdivision as retaliation for its support of Walter Blevins in his race against Richard White for the judge executive's office in 2014. Bluegrass Trust officials claim that County Attorney Cecil Watkins confirmed in a conference call with their attorneys that the refusal to give the easement was payback for their support of Blevins. Those named in the suit have not commented on the matter. For Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Elizabeth Hernandez.
And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area tonight. Mostly cloudy, low in the upper 40s. Tuesday, it'll be warm, mostly sunny, highs in the lower 70s. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, lows in the lower 50s. And Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-70s. Around the region, it is 66 degrees in Ashland, 62 in Flemingsburg and Winchester, 66 degrees in Inez, 63 in Lexington, and on the campus of Moorhead State University, it is 63 degrees. 444, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you along on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, Kentucky's first Republican caucus took place over the weekend. MSBR's Tanner Boyd was there, and he brings us a report on the area's experience. We'll try to have that report for you a bit later in this newscast. It is 4:45. We'll go to sports in just about 30 seconds as Michael Gustin is collecting information on the latest from the sports world, including the retirement of the legendary Peyton Manning from professional football this afternoon. Michael will have that story for us, as well as all the high school basketball action that's taking place in our region. He's coming up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry created by artisans from across America and natural pieces found all over the world. Eat Gallery offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, pocket knives, rings, and necklaces. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Number 18 hangs up the cleats. Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Michael Gustin. After 18 seasons, two Super Bowl titles, and five MVP crowns, the legendary number 18 Peyton Manning announces retirement today with a speech airing on ESPN. Manning noted on ESPN today he is going to dearly miss the game, but excited to see what the future holds for him.
Football has taught me not to be led by obstructions and setbacks, but instead to be led by dreams. Due to some good genes, I'm smart enough to know that those lessons can enrich who I am and where I go from here. I'm totally convinced that the end of my football career is just the beginning of something I haven't even discovered yet.
Manning also was very grateful for the opportunities the Indianapolis Colts and the Denver Broncos gave him. Also from the National Football League, the Washington Redskins have released quarterback Robert Griffin III. The Indianapolis Colts have released backup quarterback Josh Freeman, and the Cleveland Browns have re-signed backup linebacker Tank Carter. Former Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach Lovie Smith has been hired as the University of Illinois head coach. Smith replaces former Illini head coach Bill Cubitt. This will be the first head coaching job at the college ranks for Smith. The boys' 16th region basketball tournament in Morehead continues with semifinal action. At 6:30, Lewis County meets Elliott County. Elliott coach Greg Atkins says the keys for his team never really change.
You know, it's going to come down to defense and rebounding. I really feel that. I think our transition defense has to be great. We've really got to limit their easy baskets and open floor. We can't allow second chance points.
In game two, Rowan County meets Boyd County. When it comes to this time of the year, Rowan coach Sean Thacker is reminding his Vikings it's all about toughness.
We had preached to them how gritty you had to be come postseason, how hard you had to fight to survive in advance. You don't have to win pretty. You just got to win.
Tonight's winners play tomorrow evening at 7 at Johnson Arena for the title. Russell won the championship of the girls' 16th region tournament yesterday. Coach Mandy Lane's 20-8-6 Lady Devils advanced into the state Sweet 16 with a 45-41 win over East Carter.
We made this a goal from the first day of practice, and they really bought in and thought we could do it. And they just continued to work harder and harder, and I just appreciate it so much.
Tournament MVP Maggie Jackumsuck led Russell Sunday with 16 points and 10 rebounds. The Lady Devils open the state finals on Wednesday at 8 p.m. against Covington Holmes at BB&T Arena in Newport. The top 25 men's basketball poll is out. Here's Jim Militello with the coverage.
The Jayhawks won twice last week to improve to 27-4. That earned them 63 of the 65 first-place votes. In fact, none of the top six teams lost last week, so they all held their spots. Michigan State got the other two first-place votes and is number two, followed by Villanova, Virginia, Xavier, and Oklahoma. North Carolina, Oregon, West Virginia, and Indiana round out the top ten. The biggest move of the week came from the Kentucky Wildcats, who scored wins over Florida and LSU to move up six spots to 16. I'm Jim Militello.
Meanwhile, the Louisville Cardinals dropped to number 14. Despite falling to UT Martin last Friday in the OVC tournament semifinals, Morehead State basketball coach Sean Woods believes the season isn't over yet for his Eagles. According to Woods, there's a good chance his 19-12 team will get an invite to either the CollegeInsider.com tournament or the College Basketball Invitational.
Well, that's the plan. You know, we're going to try to do that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, these guys deserve it. You know, they deserve to keep playing. You know, they can't let one game in this OVC tournament dictate the success and the run that we've had over this year.
The Eagles last played in the CBI back in 2010, beating Colorado State at home, but then losing in overtime at Boston University. The Cincinnati Reds are in action this afternoon in Goodyear, Arizona against the Angels. Currently, the Reds have a 7-3 lead in the bottom of inning number 5. Rookie starter Cody Reed started for the Reds, pitched 3 scoreless innings, allowing only 2 hits. Also for Major League Baseball, the St. Louis Cardinals starting shortstop Johnny Peralta will not be starting opening day for the Redbirds. He had an MRI yesterday, and Peralta has a ligament tear in his thumb, which will require him to miss 2 to 3 months. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles had a big offensive day yesterday in sweeping 2 games from Siena at Allen Field. Coach Mike McGuire's 8-3 ball club pounded out 43 and ripping the Saints 24-7 and 11-4.
I thought we swung the bats well all day. Just up and down the lineup, and it's good to see. You know, we've got a lot of new guys in there and understanding, especially in our ballpark, ball games are never over, and you just got to keep grinding, got to keep having good at-bats.
Junior first baseman Jesus Carrera tied a school record with 6 hits in the game 1, including a homer. Will Schneider totaled 6 RBIs for the day. The Eagles host Longwood on Wednesday at 3 p.m. And finally, in sports today, former tennis number 1 Maria Sharapova has failed a drug test at the Australian Open. Sharapova tested positive for meldonium, which she has been taking since 2006, which was just made illegal this year. Sharapova notes she did not see that drug was now banned before taking the substance. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball hosts Longwood University at 3 p.m. on Wednesday. Tickets available from the Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
New from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons, this is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed mixed, steadying after their first 3-week rally of the year, as gains in energy stocks offset declines in technology, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average today, in posting a gain, had its first 5 straight days of gains since October. Chevron, IBM, and ExxonMobil contributed the most to gains among Dow Jones Industrial stocks, while Visa and Nike were the greatest laggards. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did show a gain of 67.18 at 17,073.95. The S&P 500 was up 1.77 at 2,001.76. And the NASDAQ Composite, reflecting weakness in technology, finished with a loss of 8.77 at 4,708.25. New York Stock Exchange breadth was a very strong 2-1 in favor of gainers over losers. Energy led S&P 500 advancers as oil rose. Brent crude topped $40 a barrel for the first time in 2016, while WTI briefly dropped or topped $38 a barrel in intraday trade. Over the last 12 months, the energy sector is still the worst performer among S&P 500 sectors. European stocks paired losses to close mildly lower, while in Asia, stocks closed mixed, with the Shanghai Composite ending about 0.8% higher. Over the weekend, the Chinese premier announced a 2016 target GDP growth range of between 6.5% and 7%. Among Dow Jones stocks, Chevron, as mentioned, was strong today, up over 3%, while Nike was down over 3%. And among NASDAQ stocks, Google was down 2.4%, Netflix down 6%, and Microsoft down 2%. The S&P Biotech, or I should say Biotech stocks, were strong as the S&P Biotech Spider ETF finished with a gain of 3.625%. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down 16 cents at $100.56, CSX up 31 cents at $25.54, AEP up 80 cents at $63.23, AK Steel up 30 cents at $4.04, Marathon Petroleum down 21 cents at $36.85, and Community Trust Bank was up 45 cents to finish at $35.01. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Facebook's fast track into social media stardom has attracted users of all ages, and now many agencies are logging on to stay better connected with their customers, including the Ashland Police Department. MSPR's Jordan Simonson has that story.
According to the police department citizen ratio, 52% of their service area is involved with the social media, generating over 11,000 likes to the page. Sergeant Ryan Conley is in charge of the Facebook account, and he says the page is used for more than just crime fighting.
It's more about being transparent. We are definitely in the crime business, but that's only a small portion of what we do. And this allows us to, you know, we might be able to post a video or some pictures of us going out and playing ball with some kids or, you know, some of the community events we do at Trick or Treat or something like that.
The account is geared toward increasing interaction between the citizens and the police force and creating a better rapport. But the name of the game is keeping the public safe, and Conley notes that using social media has increased that success rate.
Specifically to crime prevention, especially with surveillance videos that we're getting that so many people have now, it's invaluable, nothing to compare it to. The only thing I could compare it to is we would go to a theft earlier and knock on 10, 15 doors to see if anybody saw anything. Where we've got this photo, we put it out on our Facebook, and we're hitting instantly 11,000 plus people, and then they're friends of friends. So we're generally hitting about 30,000 people as soon as we hit the button. And our response has been amazing.
Another response that wowed the department was when a short impromptu video sparked a landslide of views during this past January's heavy snowfall.
We were just trying to show the citizens that, you know, you probably don't want to come out here. This is what it looks like if you need to see it. So we're already out, and the major has his car, and he had his phone, and he mounted his phone and just went down the major road just to show how thick the snow was coming down, the visibility, and to show the low traffic, the low speed. Before we know it, I think in 20 minutes, we had around 30 or 40,000 views on the video.
And after about 12 hours, that 27-second clip had racked over 280,000 views. The average video that the department posts generates around 72,000 views in a city of only 20,000 people. Conley says they use those viewing numbers, along with likes, to tailor the page to the citizens.
We don't really filter anything, but we do monitor what the people like to see, and we do that through Facebook, through how they interact. And we can see that because Facebook monitors that through Insights. So we look at what is popular to them, what they comment on, what they hit on, like that video, and we can reasonably assume they want to see more of that.
The Facebook page is a dual effort between Ashland Police Department and the citizens, and Conley has no doubt that it won't be great.
I love our citizens. Our citizens love us. And if they don't, they'll tell us that too. And that's another part we like about it. You know, if there's something we've missed, they don't. They'll let us know. And you know, that's how we get better.
To like the Facebook page, just give a search for Ashland Police Department. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jordan Simonson.
And the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area tonight, mostly cloudy, low in the upper 40s. Tuesday, warm, mostly sunny, highs in the lower 70s. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, lows in the lower 50s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-70s. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. And then on Thursday, look for partly sunny skies with highs in the mid-70s. Around the region, it is 66 degrees in Ashland, 62 in Flemingsburg, 66 in Inez, 63 in Lexington. It is 62 in Winchester and on the campus of Morehead State University. It is 63 degrees. And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Braxton Howard, Michael Gustin, Sean Delaney, and Elizabeth Hernandez. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Dan Translator, W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.